Rich. Let me get to your...
Now it is.
1 second.
Yeah, that would be not my presentation.
Getting there.
All right, so I only have 3 slides. It's about the update to the ALTO requirements. Sebastian asked me to present since he wasn't able to make it. But he has made some changes. So going to my second slide, I'll give you some background. It really had to do with security considerations. Thanks. You might as well go to the second one. It really had to do with issues related to information disclosure. So if you look at it as a dual problem. The disclosure of topology data is information as released by the ALTO service to the ALTO client. So it's really information that presumably the network operator or whoever else is the ALTO service provider is releasing off to this client base. Disclosure of user behavior comes from the ALTO client side. If you're not careful, it could be, you know, this is the kind of information I'm looking for. Maybe this is the peer-to-peer swarm I want to join, or maybe this is the people that I've interacted with. And so there's a new section 7.2. It describes that combination of potential information disclosure and issues there and how to mitigate those issues. And the other direction is whether it's actually the other ALTO entity that you think you're talking to versus some complete third party. So it's ALTO server to ALTO client, ALTO server to third party, ALTO client to ALTO server, ALTO server to ALTO client to some unknown third party. And then the last one is an interesting case where a bunch of ALTO clients gather information from the ALTO service and then use that to try to figure out what's going on, to basically build a network map based on individual service responses. So that's all new language. That's all new language, and it's all in there, and it's too big to fit on the slide. But as a result of that, with the email discussion, it raised an issue of, well, what happens if ALTO clients start leaking information to other ALTO clients? And so, we didn't want to do some kind of DRM, but we didn't want to say that you can't do DRM, but we didn't want to say that you needed to do DRM. I mean, DRM just doesn't fit at all into this particular problem space. And so now what it's been phrased as a new requirement, which is off the bottom of the screen, which is a problem here. But basically, the operator of an ALTO server needs to be careful about what assumptions they make in terms of client further redistribution of information. So it's in the draft. It's probably easier to see online. I don't know why it's getting cut off like this.
This is Linux, so this is OEP.
It's Linux. Okay. All right. I'll assume there's no questions. I'll keep going, and I guess we can just do questions at the end. Next one. Okay. So those were the big changes to the draft. We went through 2 iterations, 03 and 04. Some of the open issues. These are where we're looking for feedback from the working group. The first is provision bandwidth. Should we include it? Should we not include it? If we do include it, do we add any caveats? There are constantly people that say, hey, we should add provision bandwidth as an attribute that could be used to provide better peer selection. There are privacy concerns. I finally documented them and sent them off to the list. Maybe if we include the provision bandwidth attribute, maybe we include that text as well or some variation of it. Some people see it as useful. I think P4P was actually leveraging some form of provision bandwidth. Richard Olimi is nodding yes. Good. or was estimated. Could it be dangerous? I got some nightmare scenarios. I've sent that off to the list. Maybe that's valid, maybe that's not. Could it be cause disproportionate high load on high bandwidth peers? So this is somebody who has much more upstream bandwidth than everybody else, and everybody flocks to them like moths to a flame. Those are all good questions, and maybe we should try to resolve them. We have, this has not been added. We are looking for feedback, preferably on the mailing list, but we can take some comments now. And then the other thing is, are there any special requirements about per user attributes? And this is really trying to balance the fact that a user really is identified in Alto by IP address. The IP address can be reassigned. How much do you want to rely on those per user attributes for how long? He calls it the limitations of map-based approaches. If you're not really doing per user attributes, you don't have to worry about this so much. But if you're trying to get down to how maybe my service is different than my neighbor's service, then you start to have to worry about this. And I think we're still looking for feedback on how much to document there. So I'm done. So if there are any questions, Mr. Alimi.
Hi, Rich Alimi. One thing that was mentioned on the list that might also make use to document here is whether this is the distinction between third-party queries for user information and the user querying for his own information. So for example, a user there might not be a privacy concern if a user queries for his own privilege and bandwidth or other information about the user, and then it's up to the user to decide whether he should or wants to distinguish or distribute it to anyone else.
Yeah, so if you go back a... I know we carry that as a use case in the mainline text, but you're specifically saying that 7.2 should capture that. And I think you're right, that's not there right now.
Well, so I'm also mentioning it because, not only because of the security implications for provision bandwidth, but also because if you tie that information to the user, it may not any longer be bound to the IP address. So if a user queries for his provision bandwidth, you might be able to look up what the actual bandwidth is for that user account.
Yep.
And then even if he changes IP address, it's up to him, but another person doesn't have to query based on that user's IP address. He can just ask the user, what is your provision bandwidth?
And when you say third party, do you mean like an Alto
another
client that's based at like co-located with a tracker or something, or do you mean something
either
else?
Either that or another peer in the swarm.
Okay.
So peer A says, what is my bandwidth? Peer B asks peer A, what is your bandwidth?
Yes. Yes, those would be very different scenarios. Yes. Okay. Anything? Oh, yes.
Martin Stiemeling, two questions. First of all, since this is a requirement document, do we need to, write down somewhere what the privacy issues are? But I'm not sure we should do it in this document. Because that's just a requirements document saying the protocol should be able to carry information, blah, 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 whatever. So it should be documented for sure, but I'm not sure if it's that document.
Okay, any other guidance on that? Do the working chairs have an opinion?
John has an opinion.
That's a reasonable question. I hadn't thought of that.
Do I have an opinion? right. So I do think actually that insofar as we can make decisions about what is going to end up being in the protocol that have privacy implications, they do need to be addressed at a requirement stage. And I think very much along the lines of what Richard was just speaking to, I mean, these have tremendous, I think, potential implications for what the security properties of the protocol will be if we're going to allow these kinds of use cases at the stage. And so I think it's actually worth thinking through would be my point.
Then the second point is, since I'm one of the ones who says we should have something like provisioned bandwidth, I just stumbled over it. It might be a misunderstanding. I see it just as a rating criteria, where you can send, if you send it to the server, you say, well, give me peers that have at least 500 kilobits per second upload capacity. And I probably never spelled this out, but I would not suppose that the server comes back and says, this peer has X kilobit per second upload. But this is just as an input parameter to the selection process. That's it. And this will also, let's say, cut out a bit of the privacy concerns. So you can say, let's say, give me a ranking, but I would need peers that have at least 500 kilobit per second upload.
Right.
And
so
then this is all handled in the server, and you get just the ranking applied. But no answer about this particular peer has blah, blah, blah megabit per second upload capacity.
So I don't disagree. There actually is some stuff in the requirements right now about in 5.3, I think there is some kind of way that you could say, you know, exclude peers that don't have at least so much bandwidth. I think the only caveat I would put there is that if you put out that kind of request and you got like one response, you're sort of back in the same hole, possibly. But I mean, it is much better.
I think you can query, let's say, IP address by IP address, but it's more load. Let's say you can do like taking one IP address and querying and trying to play, but it's more load and more complexity for you also.
Yeah. Okay.
This is Rich Leamy. I was just going to mention that you're still open to the security hole where you can do a binary search and figure out the user's bandwidth. Right?
Right, but that's, you have to do all the work. So, and when you provide information, there's some way of finding it out. But this would be at least a way of making it a bit harder.
Okay. I mean, I think if you're looking for somebody that has at least, say, 1 megabit per second, that mechanism probably doesn't give away too much information. If you're saying you have to have at least a gigabit per second, that might be giving away a lot. Okay.
And I must also channel the ghost of Lars, who I don't think is with us today, that all this provision bandwidth is just a bit of a dodge from estimated bandwidth, which is a bit of a dodge from actual changes that you perceive in network state based on, again, if we give the Alto service enough information to start making decisions like, oh, three people I recommended highly ranked that they use this peer because he had 500 kilobits per second. So probably he actually now only has about 300 kilobits per second or something. Lars will come and strangle us all. So
yes,
we must stay on the right side of the slippery slope.
Right. Yeah, so actual available bandwidth is out of scope.
Right.
All right. Is that it?
Hello,
yes.
Syed Ali. I do support use of JSON as the protocol mechanism. There's a section here I'm looking at the endpoint path properties that talks about extensions. And depending on the implementation model, there is a possibility that the ISP or the service provider may want to apply localized policies. How are we going to address that? Is that something that will be part of the plan changes?
I don't think we're discussing encoding in the requirements document. The protocol document is talking about that, but
okay.
Maybe that would be better to wait for the protocol discussion.
Well, okay. I guess I was more looking at the extensibility aspect then. That has consequences.
If it implies a new requirement, help us send something to the email list that says, you know, I think we would want to try to avoid saying, you know, that the protocol must use JSON because, you know, that's the only way to get extensibility. I think it would be better to say we need this kind of extensibility. We need to be able to add new attributes. So if that's missing, I would definitely send it off to the email list and we'll try to get it in. But if it's, you know, you should use some particular, you know, encoding protocol because it's extensible, I think that's something we'd want to try to avoid.
Right. No, the question actually targeted more to the protocol. I'll wait. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you.